Psalm 24, we begin reading in verse 1. The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. For he hath founded it upon the seas, and established it upon the floods. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord, and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face, O Jacob, Selah. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory, Selah. Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, this morning we thank you that as we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, you have promised to never leave us nor forsake us. God, we're grateful this morning that we can look into your word and find encouragement, find strength, find comfort. I pray, Father, that you would cause each one of us to sincerely anticipate the soon return of our Savior, Jesus Christ. I'm grateful, Father, for your word that does speak to us. And Father, I pray that you would give us open ears and open hearts to your word. For we ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. As we have been studying David, the man after God's own heart, this morning I'd like for us to examine his reflections on God. As the chosen leader of Israel, he sought diligently to maintain a close walk with God. And under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he penned many words of encouragement and worship. The psalm before us is believed to have been used in an antiphonal setting as the children of Israel would engage in corporate worship. It's thought that some of the questions in this psalm would be spoken by the priests, and then the congregation of Israel would respond. Today, we desire to maintain a close walk with God, to have a heart for him. And if we listen to the words of this passage, we can be encouraged as we anticipate the future reign of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the Messiah, Jesus Christ, the righteous. We see here in this psalm, first of all, that there is comfort in God's creating power. What a joy it is to know that, yes, this earth does belong to God and that this earth has been brought here by God's own divine creation. Nothing by happenstance. There's not any evolutionary process, be it theistic or otherwise, that caused for this wonderful world to come into place. But the exciting part, when we realize this, is that means not only the world in terms of the beauty of nature, but he says, and they that dwell therein. That's you and me. What a joy it is to know that our God has created us for a purpose, that we have the joy of being able to glorify him. Amen. And to seek to live out that purpose on a daily basis. But I remind us this morning, as we think of our great God, that it really is a blessing to know that although there may be those in this world who would try to take this earth on a different course, or try and somehow cause us to think that this world is all there is to it, or that this world simply came about by some unique set of circumstances, that you and I can rest assured that a sovereign God is in complete control of everything that is taking place on this earth. And at the same time, as we look forward to the future, we realize that it doesn't matter how dark the clouds may be. It doesn't matter how uncertain the times may be. Our sovereign God has never for one single moment lost any control. Isaiah says, thus saith the Lord, the Holy One of Israel and his Maker, ask me of things to come concerning my sons and concerning the work of my hands, command ye me. I have made the earth and created man upon it. I, even my hands, have stretched out the heavens, and all their host have I commanded. It's interesting at this time of the political year when we see individuals, young and old, desirous of having their picture taken with a particular political entity. You'll see sometimes a mom or a dad will have a baby and they'll ask the candidate if he would be so kind or she would mind holding the child, and they want to get a picture. And yet we all know that even though they may have that picture and they may put that on the wall and they may relish that for years and years to come, that does not in any way imply that they had a personal relationship with that individual. Why, yes, they may have seen him or her. Yes, they may have been there. Yes, they may have had opportunity even to have heard them speak, to have been in their physical presence. But that's where it all ended. Of course, we look back and we think in terms of leaders of yesterday and those that have even passed away in recent days, and realizing so too has their memories. But you and I, as children of God, have the privilege of not only knowing about this sovereign God, but of having a personal relationship with Him. And I tell you this morning that God does not scratch His head when you and I seek to come before Him and say, "Who in the world is that person? Or that's somebody that I'm supposed to know. That's one there that I think I've met at some other time." No, our God desires to meet every single need of those of us as His children as we seek to acknowledge He is the one who is in complete control. This past Tuesday, as I mentioned briefly in our Wednesday night service, I was on a visit with a man and happens to be a Muslim and does not comprehend who our God is. But what a joy it is that as you and I look into the Word of God and we read the description of this wonderful God, that we realize, wait a minute, there's nothing that is here by coincidence. There's nothing that is here that is outside of what God has allowed according to His plan. There's wonderful comfort in knowing the creating power of our God. But also there's wonderful comfort in knowing the cleansing power of our God. You see, He desires to have this relationship. And He says here, "Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in His holy place?" That is, who are those that are able to enter into this relationship? Who are those that, of course, can go upward toward God? Well, He defines who that is. It's those with the clean hands. It's those with the pure heart. We think of David, and I love the words in which he was able to reflect on. If you turn to 2 Samuel chapter 22, David, a man after God's own heart, not perfect, certainly had his flaws, and yet he was able to reflect on the relationship that he enjoyed with an almighty God. He was able to rejoice in the cleansing power of that righteous, holy God. And in 2 Samuel chapter 22 and in verse 21, the Bible says, "The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands hath He recompensed me, for I have kept the ways of the Lord and have not wickedly departed from my God." You know, now, some of us who could quickly think of some of David's faults and his failures would very easily say, "Well, what about Bathsheba? What about Uriah? What about Absalom?" And go down the list of other things that certainly were not pleasing to God. But you see, David appreciated the relationship that he had with Jehovah in knowing that as he took any offense, any sin, any iniquity before a holy and righteous God, that he could enjoy the forgiveness of that God, and he could continue in the ways of the Lord as the Lord was sharing with him exactly what He wanted him to do, and he was able to look back and say, "God is blessing me because I have sought to have clean hands." Interesting statement from a man who's also referred to as a man of war. And yet, because of the integrity that characterized David's life, he was able to demonstrate his appreciation for all that God has done. You see, our God wants us to be able to approach Him. But He wants us to approach Him properly. Which is why he says that it is important that our hands be clean. It is important that outwardly that we reflect to others a life that is separated unto God. And that inwardly we have that pure heart, as James also reminds us in James chapter 4 and verse 8. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. What a blessing it is to know that as from time to time sin creeps into our lives, we can go instantly to God, and with a genuine contrite spirit, we can receive the cleansing that only God can give. And then we can go forth in the joy of knowing, by the grace of God, there's nothing between me and my Savior as I seek to live for Him. But you know, He wants to bless all those who approach Him in this holy or sanctified fashion. Which is why he says in verse 5, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. You see, he will bless us. And I want to remind all of us that there is no greater blessing than that which comes from God above. You know, as we look around and you see people and sometimes we tend to look at things from a materialistic standpoint, and it's easy for any of us to do. But let's keep in mind that everything that we accumulate materially someday is going to be destroyed here on this earth. But everything that we receive from the Lord, we think of Galatians chapter 5 and all the fruit of the Spirit. We realize, wait a minute, God is blessing me in ways that money cannot buy. What a thrill it is to have the peace, not only with God, but also the peace of God. Having our sins forgiven, as he's called here, the God of salvation. God not only wants to bless us, but he wants to be our Savior. What a joy it was yesterday for me to be able to visit with Isaiah Young. He's been coming with his dad to our church for the past couple of years, and having attended junior church, he had developed a desire to know more about the Lord and specifically about his salvation. His dad spoke with me a couple of weeks ago as he was leaving after one of our services to let me know of the way in which the Lord was working in his son's heart. And yesterday morning, I had the joy of visiting with him and seeing this 9-year-old boy make the personal decision to receive the gift of salvation through Jesus Christ. And it was a blessing because as Tom was sharing, he said, I look back at my life. And he said, there was a time when I too realized that I needed a Savior as a young boy. And he said, I had the joy of having my pastor nearly 20-some years ago come to my house and share with me from the Bible how I could be saved. And now he said, it's a double blessing to me to be able to see my son equally come and put his faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And that's the God of David's salvation that is the God of Isaiah, the little boy's salvation, that also will be the God of our salvation as we find comfort in that cleansing power. We not only find comfort in the creating and in the cleansing, but also we find comfort in the centrality of who God is. You see, he tells us here the blessings that come from those that seek him, but then he makes a question. Sometimes when we think of this passage, we may reflect on it at a time of a passing of a loved one. But there is wonderful comfort in these words. When he says in verse 7, lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Now, for most of us, we probably don't necessarily think of gates and of doors as having heads and as of being able to lift them up. But what he's simply emphasizing here is not so much the thought of the doors and the way in which they would be opened up, but to cause us to look upward. To cause us to reflect on God and His holiness. To cause us to think about who the King of glory truly is. And of course, when we look upward, then it helps us to get our mind off of all of the distractions that can so easily cause us to miss out on the blessings of God while we're here in this life. You know, there are plenty of things that can disappoint any of us. Any of us can think back over the last 7 days, and maybe it was something that happened in traffic. Maybe it was something you had something go wrong in your house, an appliance that broke down. Or if you were like I was yesterday morning, I was trying to be a blessing to my wife, and I decided I would take the dog out. And so I had come back from my walk and put Angel on the leash, and we went outside, and she knew I was not the one who was the designated walker. And so in spite of the fact that she had been asleep all night long, I know she needed to go outside and relieve herself. She chose to just sit there for over 3 minutes. We walked to every corner of our yard, and I said, Angel, I don't care. I'm not walking you all the way down the street. I am not your mother. I am your father, and we're going back inside. You know, and sure enough, of course, Becky takes her out, and everything's fine. But you know, when you think about disappointments in life, isn't it a blessing to realize, wait a minute, if I get my eyes off of this temporal life, and I think of my God, and I think upward of who that wonderful King is, yes, there are three ways in which we can reflect on His coming. You see, we can anticipate that this would have been something that perhaps, as some have suggested, would have been sung when the ark was brought back, having been there at Obed-Edom. And the rejoicing that would have taken place as they would have gone back into the tabernacle, keeping in mind that as David is the one who has written Psalm 24, the temple has not yet been builded. But there's also another time that could reflect forward when we think about the King of Glory coming in. As we think of Jesus Christ when He came to this earth and His triumphal entry into Jerusalem. And realizing all of the excitement that was generated around that time. When we think of our God, we have to realize He is the King of Glory. Spurgeon wrote, "The Lord rules the angels, the stars, the elements, and all the hosts of heaven. And the heaven of heavens is under His sway. The armies of men, though they know it not, are made to subserve His will. This generalissimo of the forces of the land and the Lord High Admiral of the seas is on our side, our august ally. Woe unto those who fight against Him, for they shall flee like smoke before the wind when He gives the word to scatter them." You see, He tells us who this King of Glory is. The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. This morning we give thanks for those that represent us overseas, for those who are fighting physical battles on our behalf. I was able to correspond a little bit this week with Gunnar Hankins, and he's over in Afghanistan right now, if I've got the right country. I know he's in the Middle East, and was just sharing about the environment that he finds himself in, and there aren't any Christians in his immediate vicinity, and being able to just try and seek to encourage him through some scriptures and some other truths that were there. But I thank God for those that are fighting. But I think at the same time, it can be a little bit discouraging when we see different battles that we may lose, when we see places from which we retire and the enemy comes back in. But have you ever stopped to think that when we talk about this King of Glory, that He has never lost one single battle, nor will He lose any battle? That He's always come forth victorious? And what a joy it is to think of Jesus Christ, as the Bible reminds us in 1 Corinthians, being victorious over death. And that's the way in which you and I can embrace this wonderful King of Glory, through putting our faith and trust in Him and looking forward to spending an eternity in His presence. But He's also referred to here not just as the King of Glory, not just as strong and mighty, but then in verse 10, He's called the Lord of Hosts. This is a different term. The International Standard Bible Encyclopedia points out that this term is the Sabbath, as it's the Lord Jehovah Sabaoth, is used of heavenly bodies and earthly forces, of the army of Israel, of the heavenly beings. It is probable that the title is intended to include all created agencies and beings of which Yahweh is maker and leader. You see, this morning, our God is the God not just of the earth, but of the whole universe. And what a joy it is to know that, yes, He does care about each one of us. Turn with me, if you would, very briefly to Deuteronomy chapter 4. Deuteronomy chapter 4. We find here a description of some of the things that this wonderful God of hosts has done. As God is speaking through Moses and sharing with him some truths that Moses is in turn imparting to the children of Israel. In verse 34 of Deuteronomy 4, the Bible says, "Or hath God essayed to go and take him a nation from the midst of another nation by temptations, by signs, and by wonders, and by war, and by a mighty hand, and by a stretched out arm, and by great terrors, according to all that the Lord your God did for you in Egypt before your eyes? Unto thee it was showed, that thou mightest know that the Lord, He is God. There is none else beside Him." And this morning, I trust and pray that He is your God. The one who's done all the signs and wonders. The one who has showed Himself strong. The one who has been victorious. But the most exciting part when we think about this King of Glory is not just what He did for the children of Israel, is not what He did solely when He came in that triumphal entry there, but rather is what is going to yet happen when the King of Glory will come back and will establish His kingdom for 1,000 years here on this earth. You see, the Bible tells us in Revelation chapter 19, "I saw heaven opened, and behold a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God." I want to remind all of us this morning to keep looking up. I want to remind all of us this morning that yes, the King of Glory is coming back. And it could be today. We think of the way in which those of us who know the Lord will be caught up together with Him in the cloud. But that's not where it ends. You see, after the tribulation, Jesus Christ is coming back to rule and to reign one final kingdom over this earth. And that's why it's absolutely critical that today we make certain we are looking forward to that time. That we're not going about our lives as if it didn't matter. That we're not looking at it as a date that is so far off in the future that it's not something that we can directly relate to. You see, today Jesus Christ wants to be your King. He wants to be your Lord, but you are the one who has to make that decision. Will you find comfort in His coming? Have you found comfort in His cleansing? Do you find comfort in His creating? The story is told of a large fishing vessel that was pulling into the port after being at sea for several weeks. The men on the boat were gazing eagerly toward the dock, where a group of their loved ones were waiting. The first mate looked through his binoculars and called out and said, "Hey, Joe, I see your wife. Hey, John, I see your wife and your kids," and so on and so forth. And one fisherman was anxious because his wife was not among those waiting to meet their husbands. He left the dock and walked to his home where he could see the front porch light twinkling off in the distance. As he opened the door, his wife ran to him exclaiming, "Honey, I've been waiting for you." And the fisherman replied, "Yes, but the other men's wives were watching for them." You see, it's not enough for us to leave the front porch light on for our coming King. It's not enough to just believe that eventually He will come. We need to watch for Him expectantly, hopefully, longing for God to send His Son. And to be involved actively in telling others of that soon return. What a joy it is to know that yes, Jesus Christ truly could come at any time. But today, what we have to do is we have to look to Him. We have to learn to lean on Him for strength and stop depending on our own strength. And we have to make certain that we are truthfully looking up. Who is this King of Glory? The Lord of hosts, He is the King of Glory. Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer.